Thank you, ladies. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. We're going to resume there tonight, Acts chapter 4. Brother Gardner has our special, and as soon as he's finished here singing, we will jump into this. Find your place in Acts chapter 4. Are you comfortable out there tonight? Is it okay, or is it stuffy? I see people fanning. Brother Griffin, are the fans on? I don't see Brother Joe. If the fans aren't on, we can at least get the fans moving. Let's see here. Brother Bragg, if you'll slip out and ask him if the fans are on, or just check yourself. I don't think we need the air conditioning. Just move a little air around, okay? Thank you. Brother Dave will sing for us. They just got back from him and Amanda from seeing their new little granddaughter out in New York. Melissa and Danny and new little girl. So congratulations to Dave and them. And what a blessing, Brother Dave. Thank you, sir.
By gentle scales, the angry sea had battered and torn the sails. The hungry waves were crashing down. My soul was tossed and driven on. I was lost and helpless. No hope could I see. But then came Jesus, walking on the water. My ship was sinking in the storms of life. He whispered, "Peace, be still," and calmed the sea. Oh, then came Jesus, and He rescued me. The sea was calm as I sailed the ocean. Restless waves had no power over me. With my Savior as my guide, there was no harm from the surging tide. But in my pride, I went my own way, away from His side. But then came Jesus, walking on the water. My ship was sinking in the storms of life. He whispered, "Peace, be still," and calmed the sea. Oh, then came Jesus, and He rescued me. Pilot me over life's raging sea. The way unknown, let me hide myself in Thee. And someday on heaven's shore, there'll be no rocks, no thunder roar. I'll hear, "Well done, child, you're home now, you're safe evermore." Because my Jesus came walking on the water. My ship was sinking in the storms of life. He whispered, "Peace, be still," and calmed the sea. Oh, then came Jesus, and He rescued me. Oh, then came Jesus, and He rescued me.
Yeah, that's a good song. Thank you, Brother Gardner. I enjoyed that tonight. All right, we haven't been in Acts for a while with Missions Conference and everything, but I want to go there tonight. And we were in chapter 4 when we left some weeks ago for the Missions Conference and so forth. We'll pick up and learned something tonight, picking up where we left off a few weeks ago. Let's pray together. Thank you, dear Lord, for the good song that blessed my heart. I'm glad for the day you came walking on the water to each one of us who was saved and who is saved. Lord, thank you for that. And Father, certainly we do anticipate the day when we'll be in that land where there'll be no more surging tides, no more stormy waters. And God, thank you for that blessed hope. Now, Lord, please, until we reach that land, help us to live for you. May we learn something tonight from this passage of the Bible that will help us be a better servant for you in these days. Help me, Lord. I pray that you'll touch and bless this lesson and speak to our hearts. I ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Before I get to verse 15, that's where we're going to start tonight. Let me kind of bring you up to date. The healing of the lame man at the Gate Beautiful in chapter 3 had caused an immense stir among the people of Jerusalem. Now, again, this was the chief priests and Pharisees' worst nightmares come to pass, because the followers of the one whom they had crucified not only were making more disciples now, but now they were doing miracles that were absolutely undeniable. You see, in Acts chapter 2, they'd gone out, witnessed and preached, and 3,000 people had gotten saved and baptized and joined up to join the church that was after the one they'd crucified. And now, Peter and John had come to the temple and healed this man who sat daily at the gate. And so this was their worst nightmare. They thought when they put him on the cross and killed him that their troubles would be over. They were just starting, just starting. Now, they had gathered the council of the Sanhedrin together. We talked about that last time. And they were attempting to determine exactly what they could do to put an end to this newly empowered influence. And don't forget that, friend. Don't forget, you know, one of the reasons there's such a stir right now in the city of Jerusalem is because these disciples had been newly empowered with Holy Ghost blessing and power from on high in Acts chapter 2. And I will tell you something, it does make a difference in our Christian service. It makes a difference. Now look at verse number 15, chapter 4, verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, so they sent Peter and John out, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest or known to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Too many witnesses to deny it. But that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now, it is interesting that they realized the obvious miracle was legitimate and they could not deny it. And the only course of action they could take was to stop the disciples from talking. Stop talking about this. Now, it was not only the miracle of healing that was their problem. That was part of it. The bigger problem was the name that was being associated with the healing. Because if you remember earlier, it was Peter that said, by his name and the power in his name does this man stand before you here today. And of course, the name they were talking about was the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Pharisees and chief priests and Judaizers did not want. And even though the two men had been involved in the delivery of the healing, one name was responsible for that healing, and that was the name of Jesus Christ. And this was their worst nightmare. We've got to stop the people, these men, from talking about him. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? We've got to get these followers to stop talking about Jesus. Is it any wonder that still today the devil works overtime to get the followers of Jesus Christ to stop talking about Jesus? He does. And you know he does. And what should be a very normal and natural thing for every child of God sometimes becomes difficult. Our lips become sealed and we fail in our witness for Jesus Christ. And friend, it's nothing's new. It's the same old stuff that was going on back in the first century of Christianity when this group of men tried to stop these people from speaking in his name. Stop us from speaking in his name. Now, sometimes it's city councils, and sometimes it's laws written by the hand of men. And other times it's just me and you, just a lack of being spirit-filled, and a lack of being close to Christ, and a lack of being as, you know, what we ought to be with him. And friend, the natural product of a close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is to speak about Him. I don't have trouble talking about my wife because I love her. I talked about her in Arkansas. Told them that I married up. Told them that most men marry up. And I don't have trouble talking about my wife because I love her. And the truth of the matter is, if our love for Jesus Christ was what it ought to be, we'd have to have, we would still be talking about Him and witnessing about it. And it's interesting that all the way back in first century Christianity, you know, and we got to, you know, it's part of it. It's part of it. The church has to have programs and the church has to have emphasis, and let's get surveys going and let's bring this program in and let's motivate, let's inspire the people to talk about Jesus. And isn't it a shame that we have to be motivated? Isn't it a shame that we have to be inspired? To talk about the one whom we owe everything to. And I'm pointing to myself. I'm saying, look, quit pointing at me. I got three pointing back at me. See? I'm feeling this myself. It's a shame. But all the way back in the book of Acts in the first century, not even 33, just a few days after the resurrection of Christ, and they're trying to stop the talking about the name. Got to stop this talk about Jesus. Got to stop it. Now, This is going to be a recurring problem for these Spirit-filled disciples. They are going to be harassed. They're going to be harangued for their obedience to Christ. We're going to see it again in chapter 5. And the problem was not them. The problem was not Peter and John. They weren't the problem. The problem was the one they were talking about. That's what the people didn't like. All right, now, look down at verse number 19. Look at the response here. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now you remember that these who were threatening the disciples were not legal authorities, okay? These were men who held position in the organized religion of Judaism. And they said to Peter and John, no more mention of Jesus. No more. Don't talk about that man. Peter and John said, sorry, fellas, but we cannot guarantee that at all. In fact, what they did guarantee was just the opposite, that they would continue to speak of Jesus because they could not do otherwise. They had to speak of Him. This newly anointed and filled with the Spirit group of people had just started on their journey of being witnesses, and they immediately ran into opposition. And I want you, this is what I want to talk about for a few minutes. Their unwillingness to cease speaking about Jesus was because of what they had seen and heard. You see that in verse number 20? And this is Peter and John doing the talking here. We cannot but speak the things. We're not going to quit talking in the name of Christ and talking about Jesus Christ. In fact, we're going to do just the opposite. We're going to keep it up. The truth of the matter is we can't stop because of the things which we have seen and heard. Now, listen to me for a few minutes tonight. They had seen and heard firsthand the life and the teaching and the ministry and the preaching of Jesus. Remember that? They were firsthand. 3.5 years worth. Because Peter and John came on board in following Jesus at the very outset of His public ministry. So they came right on board at the beginning, and they were eyewitnesses for 3 to 3.5 years. And they were blessed because of it. Blessed at being eyewitnesses of His ministry. In fact, if you're familiar with 1 Peter and with 1 John, both of those men mentioned the fact that they were eyewitnesses of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Peter did that in 1 Peter chapter 5. He talked about being an eyewitness of the majesty and the glory and the sufferings of Christ. And Peter was an eyewitness of all that. He was an eyewitness of His sufferings because he was there when he saw Him taken to trial, basically put Him on the cross. He was eyewitness of His glory because he was on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was glorified. So Peter was an eyewitness of those things. And then 1 John, John talked about the fact that he had seen and heard and even his hands had handled. He said, I touched Him. Nobody here can say that unless you had a funny dream or something. Brother Abraham has a little bit of a problem upstairs. He got a fellow up there that's just, I don't know if it's if his cheese fell out of his sandwich or what. I'm not sure what happened, but when they have testimony time, he has a testimony time once in a while on Wednesday night, and the brother always And he always gives a testimony. And Abraham says, now, he picked me up at the airport today, and he was asking me, how do I handle this? Because he says, you know, just a couple of minutes, just 2 minutes of a good blessing from the Lord. But this guy stands up and he starts talking about, you know, visions and dreams and I'm seeing things and having these visions. And he'll talk on for 6 or 7 minutes. And he said, Abraham said, I can hope they're not hearing me up there. He said, I can see the other guys just going, oh, no. One of those Spanish guys went to this fellow and he said, look here. He said, we come to church on Wednesday night to hear our pastor. We have a pastor. We come to hear him talk, not you. I said, that works. Amen. That works. I like that. We have a pastor we come to hear. We didn't come to hear you. And I said, well, Abraham, he said, I don't know, preacher. He said, I don't know for you. What? And he said, I said, well, just be. And I told him two or three things to do, and I won't go into that with you. But nobody's seeing visions of Jesus today. Okay? Nobody's an eyewitness of anything about Jesus today. We're not touching Jesus today. None of that stuff is going on, okay? And Peter and John, buddy, that meant a lot to them, and they both mentioned it. Peter in 1 Peter and John in 1 John, some years later. They both mentioned the fact that they were eyewitnesses. Now, we might be tempted to use as an excuse that it would be easier to be more enthusiastic for Christ if we had seen and heard like Peter and John. And it was pretty easy for Peter and John to be this enthusiastic for Christ because they were eyewitnesses. In fact, John even talked about the fact that he touched Jesus. Man, that would be easy if we could have seen and heard him like Peter and John. But friend, I want to remind you tonight that there is a special blessing for those who see and hear him by faith and not by sight. And Jesus referred to this, you remember when, in the upper room after the resurrection. The second time the disciples were gathered together. Remember that? The first time Thomas wasn't there. And they left and they said, Thomas, you missed it. You missed it, man. Jesus showed up, by the way. Anytime you stay home from church and you don't have to, you may just miss it. Be careful. And he said, you missed it, man. Jesus showed up. And remember what Thomas said? He said, I won't believe that until I see him, until I put my fingers in the nail prints in his hand and see touch the wound in his side. Remember that doubting Thomas? Then the next time they got together, Thomas was with them, and in walked Jesus, and he went right over to Thomas. You talk about confrontational. And we don't like confrontational preaching. We don't like confrontational. Jesus walked right over to Thomas. All right? You want proof? He held up his hands, and he said, behold my hands and my feet and my side. Remember what Thomas said? He said, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said this, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Now watch it. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. Past tense. Not seen and yet have believed. That had to be a reference to the Old Testament saints who had never saw or heard Jesus, and yet by faith they believed in a coming Messiah. And their lives were influenced and changed by the fact that they put their faith in a coming Messiah. And those folks lived on the front side of the life of Jesus on earth. And all they believed about Christ was by faith. They never saw him, never heard him. Right? And Jesus told Thomas, those folks are blessed. There was only a short window of a 3.5-year time period where men and women had the opportunity to see and hear him in person. And now, for these years, thousands have lived on the backside of his earthly ministry. And there is still a blessing for those who live on the backside, like you and I do. And we can be extremely blessed if we, even though we have not seen and heard, we believe and we live for him. That promises to you and me too. Now you say, well, man, I just wish I had the opportunity. Well, listen, through the revelation of God about his son Jesus in the pages of this blessed book, we can see and hear the Son of God. Do you understand, friend, that in the book of 2 Peter, Peter told us that we have a more sure word of prophecy in the written Bible than what he heard when he heard the audible voice of God speaking. Because written evidence always carries more strength than hearsay. We have an incredible book here. You say, well, I just wish, I'm assured that I would be a much more enthusiastic Christian if I could have been like Peter and John, if I could have seen and heard Jesus. No doubt my enthusiasm for Christ would be a little bit, greater. But friend, we can be just as motivated to speak the things which we have seen and heard if we will only allow the Spirit of God to fill us with a fervent faith. And I'm a believer that our hearts can burn with the same loyalty and determination to serve God as Peter and John's did, even though we haven't seen him and they did. And I believe we can do that, friend, through the pages of this book right here. And you know what? Let me ask us all a question tonight. Is your Bible dead to you? Is it dead to you? Because if it is, it should not be. If the Bible is dead to me, if the Bible is dead to you, it's not. The problem is not with the Bible. Because that's a living book. Powerful book. So the disconnect is not between God and His Word. The disconnect is between His Word and my heart. There ought to be something that burns in my heart. There ought to be something that fires my soul after I spend some moments reading this book. Now, I understand our humanity, and I understand the burdens of living in a fleshly body full of sin. I understand that's cursed by sin. I understand that. And there will never be a Christian who opens the pages of this book every day and has words jump off and grab your heart and fire your soul. That won't happen every day, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. On the other hand, if every day it's dead to you, you've got something to be concerned about. You say, well, man, I don't expect to get something out of it every day. Why not? It's a living book. Well, I'm flesh. Okay, we'll do something about it. Don't go day after day after day after day after day with a living Bible full of life, full of the revelation of the Son of God, and have it not stir your heart and just use as an excuse. Well, you're not going to get something out of it every day. Well, you ought to get something out of it some days. I think sometimes we are too flippant just with our casual Bible. We're too casual with our casual Bible reading. Some of the sermons that God seems to have and use with the greatest effectiveness that I preach are ones that I just get out of my daily Bible reading. I'm not looking for a sermon. I'm looking for God to help me. I want God to speak to me. Let me say, read it carefully. Read it carefully. It is so easy to read the words of this book and not mentally take them in. Just letting your eyes run over the... You say, how do you know that? Because I went to Bible college. And they gave us this many books to read during the semester. And I read them. I never lied about it. I told the boys at the Providence several years, I think I told you this some time ago. And I tell them, now I have a little bit different system. To see if at least make them look at the book. I used to just ask on the final, did you read the book this semester? And I always said, now look, you're going to have to answer that question honestly before God. And if you're going to lie, then you just go ahead and lie. Your problem's with God. And I got a letter about 3 or 4 years after one fella graduated, and he said, Brother Angel, he said, I've been under conviction for 2 or 3 years, and I want to write you a letter. And you asked if I had read such and such a book, and I circled yes. And you told us that if we lied on the paper, our problem would be with God, and you were right. I did not read the book, and I called to apologize. He wrote me and said, I write to apologize because I lied. That's a blessing, isn't it? I read them. I read them all. I comprehended none of it. Because I learned, buddy. I learned how to do it. I learned from Mark Rasmussen. Y'all know Brother Mark? I learned from Mark Rasmussen how to speed read. How to do it with a 3x5 card turned at an angle. So that your eyes, as you slowly move the card down the page, your eyes follow that card. And your eyes just take in every word, sentence after sentence after sentence. My eyes read over every one of those words in those books every semester. I'm glad they never asked me a question from what I read. That may be one way to get through Bible college. I thought it was ridiculous, the number of books they gave us to read. And then work a full-time job and expect you to visit for 12 hours on Saturday? Come on. Good grief. And they don't have to read near as many books at the colleges now. It was ridiculous. Stack of books. All of that to say this. It's very easy to run your eyes over the words that are on the pages of this book and say, I did my Bible reading today, and it doesn't do a thing for your heart. Read it carefully. Read it carefully. Man, let the words... They're what has life. It's not the page. It's not the ink. Those words have life. Isn't that right? So read carefully and read with interest. Read with interest. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a hobby or a recreation or an interest? You check out a book at the library. You buy one off Amazon.com and you get that book and do you read it with interest? Absolutely. Read this book with interest. Read it to learn. Read it with prayer. Ask God, show me something out of this book. Show me something about your son. Show me something about you. Show me something about your great plan. Show me something about your great prayer. I was reading the book of Deuteronomy today on the plane. Man, the greatest deterrent to have somebody sit in the middle seat is a Bible. Just put it on the middle seat between you and the person in the window, and everybody comes down looking for a seat, and they see that Bible, and they just keep going. By the way, on the way down Monday, I was on the window, and I had my Bible out, looked across, and there was a fellow on the aisle, and I saw a black book there that had a look like this, and I could look there. I said, the Holy Bible, King James Version, and he had his Bible out, and he was reading his Bible. There's still a few out there, amen. So we didn't have anybody sitting between me and the lady up against the window today. The great deterrent was there. Amen. And I was reading in Deuteronomy, and man, the Lord blessed my heart toward the end of the book where Moses, he took Moses up on Mount Pisgah, you know, and he told him before that, he said, there'll never be another prophet like you. There'll be another prophet like Moses that I knew face to face. Man, my heart burned. I think that's how it's supposed to be. So don't settle. Don't settle into the comfort zone of reading your Bible and, well, you know, nobody's going to get something out of it every day. How many days have you said that? And if that has stacked up into being a week or 10 days or 2 weeks, or the disconnect is not with this book. The disconnect is in here. So I need to read it with carefulness. I need to read it with interest. I need to read it with prayer. And friend, I am convinced that you and I can be as enthusiastic about serving the Lord in whatever capacity we do, as Peter and John were, and we can do it by faith, they did it by sight. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it because I've experienced it, where my heart has been aflame. By the way, don't think I'm the only one like this. There's people in this room like this. I talk to some of these people, and I get emails from some folks who are eaten up with something they read in the Bible. That's exciting. That's exciting. So this is what happened. They said, we got it. We cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard, man. We've been eyewitnesses. Now, in verses 21 through 22, and we'll skip those, reading those. They just let them go, okay? And so they let them go, and they didn't do anything. Just told them, well, don't say anything else. And I want you to drop down to verse 31. Look at verse 31. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, well, let's go back to look at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So they were turned loose and they went to the church. Now you say, what? Where was the building? I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the church, the people. They went to the assembly and the company, and they said what happened. Now look down at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see that word assembled. Okay, go back to verse 23. They went to their own company. The company, the people had assembled. That's an ecclesia. That's a called out assembly. That's a church. Okay? So they got turned loose from the authorities. After being told not to speak in His name, they went right to the fellowship of the believers. I like that. And they got with this fellowship, and they told what was going on. They prayed, and when they prayed, man, I mean, the Bible says the place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, isn't that amazing? They had just been threatened and told not to do this, and in turn now, they are not only not doing it, they have increased boldness. So something happened in that prayer meeting. Something happened good in that prayer meeting. Now, let's look at it here. They met after they had been harassed, and they got together, and He filled them again with power from on high. What? How did they pray? All right, we're going to look at these three things, and we'll be going home. Number one, they prayed with acknowledgement. Look at verse 24. And when they heard that, the report, when they heard the report, okay, boy, the guys called us in. They read us the riot act. They told us not to talk anymore in His name. They threatened us. We can't speak anymore in the name of Christ. So they reported this. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Stop right there. They prayed, number one, with acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. They had been threatened, told not to do the very thing Jesus had told them to do. Now, what are we going to do? Because they told us not to do what Jesus told us to do. This is a problem. And so they took it to God. And I love it. The opening statement of their prayer shows great faith in the person to whom they were praying. Look at how they acknowledged Him. Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They acknowledged Him as what? Somebody said it. Creator. They acknowledged Him as the Creator. And when they acknowledged Him as the Creator, they were acknowledging Him as owner, as ruler, as Lord. There's none higher than the Creator. Who better to take your situation to? And He sits up there on that throne, lifted high above all that's happening here on this earth. They are facing a horizontal situation, a problem of enormous proportions. And so they go to God and say, Lord, we understand that we have some issues on this plane, but we know the one who sits at the very top of this plane. And You are the Creator, the God, the owner, the ruler, the head. In other words, You can control this. You can turn this. You can do with this what You want. And friend, when we face a situation or a problem where we need an extra bit of courage or power in being faithful to Christ, we have a great God to whom to pray. There's none higher than our God. And I think sometimes we do a disservice to God and ourselves when we just jump into a prayer time by saying, Dear Lord, I want You to please help me, blah, blah, blah. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. There is none like You. And that's why these last two or three prayer nights here at the church, over the past year and a half, we've tried to take the first segment of prayer time, that first 45 or 50 minute prayer time, and just use it as a time to, as we start the night of prayer, to acknowledge that we didn't come here to talk to somebody on this plane. We came here to talk to somebody who is at the very top of this plane. We're praying to the Creator, the one who controls and rules, the potentate, ruler, Lord over all. Acknowledgement, friend, one of the great things you'll do when you face a crisis or a situation and you need time in prayer, when you begin to pray, take a few moments and acknowledge to whom you are praying. I personally think God, I think He enjoys that. I think He's glorified by that. When His people acknowledge, Lord, we understand who You are and where You are. So they prayed with acknowledgement. Number two, they prayed with discernment. They prayed with discernment. Look at verse 25. Let me show it to me. Who, by the mouth of thy servant, now they're still talking to the Lord here. Who, by the mouth of thy servant David, hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. Stop right there. Who, by the mouth of thy servant David, hath said, where would they know? Where would they be able to read what David said? Psalms. Old Testament, right? So they're praying and talking to God on the authority, the knowledge, the truth that they received from God's Word. Basically, they were saying, God, do you remember when You spoke through David? I hold your finger right here. In Acts chapter 4, let's go back to Psalm chapter 2. We're almost done. I'm coming down to the end. And I try to always be kind to you on Wednesday night. Well, I thought I did, but maybe not. Psalm 2. Look at Psalm 2. Some of these men get up at 2:30 and 3 to go to work, and I never have forgotten that. I want to get you done. Look at Psalm 2 here. Why, here's what David was saying. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now look back at Acts chapter 4, verse number 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? That's Psalm 2, chapter 2, verse 1, isn't it? All right. Look at this, verse number 2 of chapter 2, Psalm 2, 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. By the way, now look over at Acts 4, where we were. Look at verse 26. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. Did you see that? In Psalms 2, it was against the Lord and against His anointed. In Acts 4, it's against the Lord and against His Christ. Contradiction? No. Verification. Because the anointed there in Psalm 2:2 is the Messiah, the anointed one. It was a prophecy about the Messiah who would come. And here in Acts chapter 4, they are identifying Jesus as the prophesied Messiah. Now, they referred to an Old Testament passage about the enemies of Jesus Christ. This is prophetical against Jesus and those who would stand against Him. Now, look at what they said in Psalm chapter 2. Again, verse number 2. The kings of the earth and set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. Now, let's go back to verse 26 of chapter 4, Acts. Okay, we're back there now. For the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered. Lord, remember over there in Psalms when David spoke and he told us the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. So look at that list. Herod, Pilate, the Gentiles. That's the Roman soldiers. And then it says, the people of Israel. That was the Jews. They were all involved, humanly speaking, in the what? Crucifixion. So they're saying, Lord, You said over in the writings of David that there would come a day when the rulers would stand up against Your holy child Jesus, the anointed one, the promised Messiah, and all the truth, Lord. We saw that happen. We saw Herod and Pontius Pilate, and we saw the Roman soldiers, and we saw the Jews come together against Christ just a few days ago. Right? Look at what it said. in verse number 28. Yeah, they gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They did nothing more than what God had already purposed would be done. You with me? Well, we put him down. You didn't do anything more than what God had already planned from eternity past. That's why I turned back too fast. That's why Psalm 2, if you're still there, and verse number 4 says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And then look at the next verse. The Lord shall have them in derision. Does that mean that the whole host of heaven chuckles when man really thinks he's doing something? But we'll take care of the cause of Christ. Yes, we will. We'll shut this up. Look at them down there. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. What do you think about it? They're not doing anything more than what I already purposed and planned from the foundations of the earth. Now think about these disciples, because now these rulers have risen up against them. Now they're not rising up against, well, ultimately it's against Jesus. But they're the point people. And what they're saying is, Lord, we understand that they could do nothing more than what your plan and purpose would allow them to do about Jesus. And we understand that these men can do nothing more to us than what your purpose and plan would allow for them to do. You know what that's called? Discernment. That's one reason why it helps to know your Bible when you pray. You pray with discernment. And God, in your word, you said this, and in your word, this. Friend, do you understand that all of these truths and stories and all of these things that happened in the Bible to people, you and I can learn from, and learning the stories and the truths and the lessons of the Bible will enable us to relate them to what we sometimes face in our lives today and in our prayer life. We should pray with discernment, knowing what God did through and for people in His Word, and God can do the same things for you and me today. Absolutely. So they prayed with acknowledgement. They prayed with discernment. I gotta quit. Number 3, they prayed with encouragement. Look at verse 29 and 30. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. They did not say, Father, please help the opposition to stop. They did not pray, God, please bring hurt or harm to those that oppose us. You know what they prayed? Give us boldness. Man.
We're trying to serve you, and we can't even. These folks, they're mad at us. Would you please do something to them? Break their leg? No, they weren't whining. They weren't. No, you know what they said? Hey, the problem is not them. They're doing what they're supposed to do. What we need is encouragement for us to do what we're supposed to do. That fires me up. They prayed for encouragement to continue to preach His word with boldness. They prayed for power to do even greater things, things that would be noticeable, things that would be undeniable, and things that would bring glory to God. You know what they were not afraid. You know what their only fear was? Their only fear was failing Him. Their fear was not them. Their fear was failing Him. Now, friend, when you face a situation, a mountain, an obstacle, some opposition that just saps your strength and your energy and your service to Christ, listen, have yourself a prayer meeting. Pray with acknowledgement, pray with discernment, and pray with encouragement, and ask God just to help you be what you're supposed to be. Because so many times, we cannot control the person on the other side. And so many times, that's what we want to do. We want to fix them. We can't do that. But we can ask God to help us do what we're supposed to do. And they did. And evidently, God was pleased with their prayer. Because, man. And the next chapter, they're right back in it again. I love it. A church that's a little bit of an irritation to a community. We are seeing, we are losing ground and drifting slowly from what the church was intended to be. And if you think for 1 minute that the church was supposed to be this little salve on a community's conscience to make everybody feel better, you're sadly mistaken. This first church stirred stuff up. And they were an irritant, which pleases me when somebody tells me, I went up to knock on the door, it's those people from Faith Baptist again. Or Brother Caleb says, I'm from Faith Baptist. I knew it! And I'm going to tell you something. There is a little bit of a push on right now in our circles to be this fellowship of believers. And I don't mean go out and make enemies on purpose, friend. There's no merit in doing that. But we're not out there. We're not commissioned or commanded to go out and help the whole community think well of us. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to help make sure he thinks well of us. Amen. And sometimes it takes boldness and courage to do for God what we're supposed to do. Well, let's stand together. Father, bless us. Help us, please. Fire our hearts. Help us as we read your book to get our hearts stirred. And bless us and help us, Lord, to be enthusiastic about serving Jesus. And help us to get something out of this book that just fires us up as a Christian. And Lord, help us to be what you want us to be as an assembly of believers here. And if we ever face obstacles, and we have once in a while, but if we ever face any like these people did, help us to respond as they did. They were not ugly. And they didn't fight the battle in the flesh. They fought it spiritually. Help us to learn tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, if you want to just...